Our scripture passage this morning comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, found on page 847 in your pew Bibles. You might be wondering, what does the story of blind Bartimaeus have to do with Palm Sunday? But as we hear the sermon, you won't hear the word Palm Sunday per se, but you will see, if you know the message of Palm Sunday, that this is a message, a sermon that should be preached on Palm Sunday. Psalm 118 is recorded in here. Psalm 118 is one of the great Passover psalms. Psalm 118 is quoted by the children singing Hosanna as well with the palm branches. So Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he is leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we think of one of the most debilitating hardships that people can deal with on a daily basis, one of the hardest ones has to be blindness. Some of you may have known people who have vision loss, and you've observed how they learn to live with this. And it's amazing what kind of abilities they have. As well, there's a lot that they can be done nowadays to help the blind. They have naturally developed a keen sense of touch, where they can read with their fingers. They read Braille, which is in many public places, around crosswalks, at bank machines, and even on our currency. And also, not only this, they have developed a keen sense of hearing. They have almost a sixth sense of knowing where they are just by using their ears. And guide dogs today are very helpful for them to get around streets and sidewalks. Computers have made life easier for them. Technology has been extremely helpful. There have been some fantastic ministries set up for the blind, such as Audio Bible. And some of us use this feature right on our electronic gadgetry. Audio Bibles are very helpful for the blind, especially those in poor countries where they couldn't afford high-tech stuff. Even today, Audio Bibles are available for the visually impaired. And we must thank the Lord for this. A blind man plays a major part in the story of redemption. Passover was approaching. The people were making their way to this annual city. There was a lot of excitement surrounding this event. We know what this meant to the believers in the Old Testament from the 15 songs of ascent, which we find in the Psalter. And the Lord was also making his way toward Jerusalem for this annual feast. For Jesus, the end of the road was not far now. Jericho was only 15 miles from Jerusalem, but this distinguished rabbi wasn't coming to celebrate the Passover. He was coming to fulfill it. In a week from this time, he would be the Passover lamb to die for our sins. And how fitting that as Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he would fulfill his earthly ministry with a healing one more time. Healing this blind beggar, Bartimaeus. And so this morning we're going to see this the blind beggar Bartimaeus under 3 points. His terrible plight. Second, his sheer persistence. And third, the Lord's amazing pity. What was it like to be Bartimaeus? For one thing, we're told that he was completely blind. He wasn't partially sighted. He was unable to see anything. He couldn't see color, texture, light, nothing. He couldn't see the beauty of nature around him, the blue skies and the trees and the flowers and the larks in the sky. Children, imagine what this would be like. You would be in total darkness. You would be cut off from so much that you experience and do. Children, you wouldn't be able to read a book unless it was written in Braille. You couldn't look at a computer screen and play computer games. You couldn't enjoy the things that your sighted friends enjoyed. For example, you couldn't play your favorite sports. You would sit at the sidelines, listening to your friends running and laughing while you just sat there with your hand in your lap. Neither could you enjoy the outdoors and the beauty of nature that is all around. The dark green color of a bullfrog. The bright orange of a robin. The dark black of a mink. You couldn't see the light streaming through the trees, except you would feel it on your face. Also, you would have to depend on others to get around. Rather than stepping onto your bike and going down a trail, you would need a cane or a guide dog to go for a walk. What a difficulty that is. You can only know what this is like unless you've been there yourself. Bartimaeus was completely blind. And not only this, Bartimaeus was sidelined and impoverished. He was at the side of the road begging. And there was no Canadian National Institute for the Blind for him. He did not have someone to help him with his education and to train so that he could do the work like someone else. He did not have the luxuries that we have to help the blind. Think of the time of elections where we see politicians at the side of the road. We don't see them standing at the street corners holding out a hat, begging for coins and for food. No, they go out and they campaign. They get themselves elected. They rely on computers for this work. They have special software that reads out the agendas and many people to help them. They campaign at the side of the street, waving signs. But this is not what it was like for Bartimaeus. He was totally dependent on other people for his food and for his everyday needs. He had to listen for footsteps and he had to cry out for their help. Bartimaeus wasn't sitting with the city elders at the gate as one of the wise men that people turned to. He wasn't able to campaign and get elected. He was uneducated, illiterate, unable to provide for himself. He was a beggar at the side of the road. And we don't know this type of begging here in Canada. We have soup kitchen shelters and inner city missions. People can find what they need, even though they may be homeless. But here was a man who truly relied on the charity of others. But what did he know about the Lord? Bartimaeus was no dummy. He was blind, and he had more sight than a lot of other people did at his time. While others who claim to have the 20/20 vision and who claim to see the light, they turn away from the light that are blinded and are blinded by that light. Bartimaeus knew something about Jesus. He knew exactly how. We don't know exactly how. He most likely heard stories about his teaching and healing. News had traveled throughout Judea. So though he couldn't see, he could hear the bustle of the crowd. And as we said before, we have to put ourselves into the situation and try to visualize the scenes of the Bible. The main road right through Jericho Whenever a famous rabbi or teacher was on a journey, it was the custom of all the crowd of people to come and listen to him as he made his way. It was the law that every male Jew over the age of 12 within 15 miles of Jerusalem had to attend the Passover. And there were people from every village and town who would line the streets amongst all the hustle and bustle of this busy time of year. Jericho was a bit unique in that many of the priests who served in Jerusalem lived in the area. There were 20,000 priests as well as Levites who served the temple. Not all could be there at the same time. They were divided into groups who would take their turns helping out with the priestly duties of the temple. They would have been in this crowd, and they were not necessarily very friendly to Jesus. They weren't too happy that this rebel Jesus was making his way through the crowded streets. There would have been many cold and hostile eyes looking on, and no one really liking what was taking place. And at the northern gate, there sat this beggar. And he heard the tramp of feet. And he asked what was going on. He had heard how Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. How he had heard how Jesus claimed to be the one on whom the Spirit of the Lord had been promised to rest. Did he know that he was the one who would give sight to the blind? One thing we do is that he knew who Jesus was. Jesus means Savior, or Jehovah saves. He also knew that Jesus was the Son of David, and he lived close to the city of David. The Son of God was promised to David. God said to David, I will raise up for you an offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13. And Bartimaeus cried out four words that mean everything. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And this phrase, have mercy on me, is found in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 4, Psalm 6, Psalm 41, Psalm 51, Psalm 109, and in Psalm 123, this is the cry of someone who desperately needed Jesus. This is to be our cry today. We may not be blind or deaf or unable to speak. We instead are amazing teachers and excellent administrators and good nurses and medical workers. We are great at working with our hands. We're skilled craftsmen and great builders. We're good university students, or wonderful musicians, brilliant artists, kind mothers, busy parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. We have everything we need. We might think it's a terrible thing to be blind, and we're glad that we're not. But congregation, don't pity blind Bartimaeus. Pity yourself. You are a needy sinner, and you are blind apart from grace. You are deaf apart from the work of our Lord. We can't shut ourselves out from grace. We need the mercy and the blessings of the Lord. Our sins kill us. It blinds us. It impoverishes us. We are the most needy of all people. We are dead in trespasses and sins and need the grace of God. So yes, we see how sad and desperate Bartimaeus was. But we are no different. And we are wretched, needy sinners who are totally dependent on the Lord and no one else. Have you made this cry? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And that brings us to our second point, Bartimaeus' sheer persistence. Bartimaeus did not have a lot of encouragement for others that day. They saw his crying out as nothing but a nuisance, and they told him to be quiet. Why did they stop him from speaking out? We're not exactly told why. It could be that they didn't want someone blurting out that Jesus was the Messiah. It could also be because they knew the religious leaders wouldn't appreciate someone yelling out that Jesus was the Son of David. And perhaps the best way to explain it is to remember how John Bunyan speaks about the wicked gate in his book, Pilgrim's Progress. Whenever someone made their way to the wicked gate from the city of destruction, beside the wicked gate was a strong castle built by Beelzebub. Both him and those who dwell in the castle shoot arrows at anyone who knocked at the door of the wicked gate. But nothing could stop his noise and crying out to come face to face with Jesus. He would not rest until he had the attention of our Lord. He was desperate. Others may not have known how dark his world was, but Bartimaeus did. Others may not have felt their need for help, but he did. In his mind, there wasn't a sentimental wish that he could see Jesus. It was a desperate desire for help from the Lord. And when he was told to hush up, he cried out all the more. What kind of encouragement did he have? What really gave him the encouragement to be so bold to cry out for help? Well, you see, this cry for help was a signal, a visual representation of the presence of God's kingdom. The Lord was using this moment in history to make known how wide open the gates of God's kingdom were. Now was not the time to shut up poor little blind beggars seeking the help of Jesus. Now was the time for the announcements about his coming. Now was the moment for all men, women, boys and girls to see the work of our Savior. For as the prophet Joel predicted about the Messiah in Joel 2 verse 32, about the kingdom of God. And he said, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And this is the amazing part of this miracle at the 11th hour of Christ's suffering and death. Bartimaeus brought nothing but his own weakness to the Lord. And the crowd around him believed that he had nothing to bring to the Lord. They did not understand that this insignificance did not disqualify him from calling on the Lord's name. But actually, they themselves were blind, not Bartimaeus. He had brought nothing to the Lord, and the Lord recognized this and filled him up. Isn't that true also of us? We will come here next week, the purpose of celebrating the special feast of the Lord's Supper. Why will you come? Why celebrate the Lord's Supper? Why call on the name of Jesus, the Son of David? We can't come to this meal thinking that we have it all together and that we are so good and righteous. The Lord is not pleased with those who have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And the Lord is not pleased with us if we are smug and self-righteous. And at the same time, He does not approve of us if we're openly living in unrepentant, persistent sin. And we have not taken the time to examine our hearts to see if we are indeed truly sorry for our sins and plead for His grace. Instead, by celebrating the Lord's Supper, we are acknowledging that there is nothing that we can bring to Jesus Christ but our own basic needs and our inadequacy. We are in need of mercy and grace. And we need His forgiveness. We need confirmation of His mercy to take to us as we take the bread and eat it, and as we take the wine and drink it. The Lord's kingdom is open to anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. We have a Heavenly Father who is well acquainted with the needs of His children. He says, in Psalm 81, verse 10, "Open your mouth, and I will fill it. Or in Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." The question that confronts us is this: Are we desperately in need of the Lord? Or are we only half-heartedly drawing near to Him today? J.C. Ryle asked the question, what is the reason that men are so half-hearted in seeking Christ? And Ryle answers in very short and simple, they do not feel the sufficiency of their own sins. They're not convinced of the plague of their own hearts and the disease of their own souls. There's only one way the kingdom is open. And it's open to those who come with needy hearts, who know their sin, repent of it, and find in Christ all they need for their souls. And thirdly, we see Christ's amazing pity. There are three things that show us His amazing pity. First of all, Jesus took the time. We're told that He stood still. Jesus stopped in His tracks when He heard the call for help. This really is a moving scene. It is amazing when we think of the context. Jesus had just announced to them that He had to suffer in Jerusalem. He would die there, and in 3 days He would rise from the dead. And there was fear in the disciples' hearts about Jesus going to Jerusalem. They did not know or understand. Consider also how Jesus' own heart must have been filled with sorrow. These were going to be 7 busy days. Jesus would purge the temple. He would cry over Jerusalem. He would teach His disciples about the end of age. He would spend an evening in the upper room, washing their feet, teaching them. And even though Jesus had a busy schedule and was filled with sorrow, and He stopped and willingly took the time to show His tender concern. Call Him, Jesus commanded. Let Him come. Jesus could have chosen anyone else out of the crowd. There were hundreds of people there that day, but He wanted the man who needed Him. He wanted the man who needed Him so desperately. So Jesus, the Creator of the heavens and earth, stopped and helped one man. We also read about the crowd encouraging Bartimaeus to go. He's calling you. He's calling you to go to Him. And it wasn't that long ago that Jesus heard the cry of Mary, who was in deep trouble. Mary had lost her dear brother to death. And now a poor and blind man needed Him. In the same way today, Jesus is calling us. He is gracious and He's a tender Savior. And He calls us in order to comfort us, to cheer us, and to give us the encouragement that can only come from Him. In this case here, He was calling to heal and to restore. This is the kind of Savior we have, congregation. A caring, merciful, and gracious Savior who hears the voice of His children. Reminds us of that Sunday school song that our children knew. Hear Christ coming, calling, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, and I will give you rest. If there ever was a man who was ready to hear Christ call, it was Bartimaeus. Look at his response. Have you ever seen a blind man leap into action? He threw aside his robe and jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What was a measly bunch of coins compared to coming to the Lord? We also see furthermore that Jesus asked a very important question. What do you want me to do for you? Is it alms that he needed? A warm bed? A happy life? No, he knew exactly what he wanted. It was sight that he was after. It is just like when you go to a doctor, you wanting to be cured of a definite ache or pain. And when you go to the dentist, you don't ask him to help you with any one of your teeth. You go to the tooth needing attention that is affected. And so it was a Bartimaeus, Rabboni, which means master or teacher, that I may regain my sight. And so it is with us and the Lord. Do we know exactly what we need? Do we know why we need Christ? If you don't know what you need, then it is no wonder that your life might be in a mess. The Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Psalm 50 verse 15. Or Psalm 107 says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. The Lord is tender-hearted to those who need him. If you know your need, then he will supply all your wants. And not only did Jesus ask a question and get an answer from him, he also brought healing. Go your way. Your faith has made you whole. All these wonderful miracles that took place during Jesus' ministry all point to his character and his salvation. They undoubtedly point to Jesus as the true Messiah, the Son of God, who gives us life. If there's any doubt about that, remember Jesus one time said to John the Baptist. John the Baptist had sent some of his disciples to Jesus and asked the question, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And Jesus very calmly replied, go tell John the things that you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Matthew 5, 4 to 6. If you ever doubt that Christ was real, remember the words of Matthew 11. But especially remember the miracle of healing on the 11th hour of Jesus' suffering as he was making his way to Jerusalem. Because it shows that he indeed is a Savior who opens the way to all those who love him. Jesus said to Bartimaeus that day, go, your faith has made you well. Or in the older King James Version, it says, your faith has made you whole. The word for well or whole is actually the word salvation. For this is what faith in the Lord does. It makes us whole. It saves us of all our sins and all our diseases. And this is the kind of Savior we serve. Let us now taste and see that he is good and he gives us all that we need for our bodies and for our soul. Amen. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, as we have heard your word, we pray that we go from here, knowing our needs and crying out with sheer confidence that you will hear us. And Father, you will supply us for what we stand in need of. And Father, you will encourage us. We pray as you healed blind Bartimaeus, you will also be with your church, that she would be one that would cry out as blind Bartimaeus did to the world. And Father, as surely as you heard him and you gave him what he stood in need of, you will be with us, that we too will stand in need of what we stand in need of. We ask and pray that this day truly will be a good and a glorious day. We ask and pray, Father, that we may hear your word of blessing and in faith go from here in peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.